Hello and welcome to Frank Friar Fridays. This is Father Patrick Bykauskas, broadcasting from St. Dominic Priory in St. Louis, Missouri. And I guess I'm still in mourning over the loss of the Boilermakers. I don't want to say something hackneyed like, well, we'll see what happens next year. It's disappointing. It was a hard defeat to take, but we did have an exciting year. I think we can all say that. I am going to start with a lovely prayer that's again sent to me every week, and it really touches on the reflection for this week as well. God of all of us, you led each person to this spot for a reason. The faces are unfamiliar to me, but I cannot help but think we are not disparate and disconnected strangers sharing a space. We are, each of us, though vastly different, united as children of a loving God. We are not separate individuals, but one large, diverse party, breaking bread and sharing a kind of mutual fellowship. Let this prayer for these stranger siblings find its way to you, O God, and keep us safe. Amen. A good reminder that we are indeed all brothers and sisters, and we have got to get over all of these things that seem to separate us. That little chime that you just heard was Laura Andrew sharing with me about the passing of her husband, Jim, a good friend of mine, as is the whole family. And what a tremendous model he was for so many of us in our Lafayette community of kindness, a real gentleman, just a good, good guy. I know we're all going to miss him, and let us all pray for Laura and the entire Andrew family in this moment as they grieve the loss of our friend Jim. So I am going to be reflecting on the reading for the third Sunday of Easter. And, well, I'll tell you about what this reading is about in my reflection. It's from, again, from the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 24 towards the end of it. You know, when I was in Rome, oh, golly, it was probably the Year of Mercy. And Charlotte Scarcelli, who many of you will remember, sent me an article. She didn't know that I was in Rome at the time. And it was an article about the experience that a family in Pennsylvania had with the Holy Father when he came to Philadelphia for the conference on families. And the article that Charlotte sent was about how this experience with the Pope had elevated the family, how moved they were, and the experience, the way they described it, was intoxicating, and they didn't want it to end. They wanted more. And that article, and my own experience, some of you know, I've been very blessed to meet the Holy Father on two, three occasions, made clear to me that the way he responds to me, to people, and the impact he has on them is something very intentional. When I was in Rome, the Holy Father had issued a letter, and it was for the church. It wasn't just for the bishops. It was for the people of the church. And in English, it's called Rejoice and Be Glad. And it's about joy. It is about being intoxicated by our faith. And it is about a call we share, a call to holiness. My experiences, unexpected, with the Pope were joy-filled experiences, an experience that called me to more, that elevated me. It will be an experience that I will discuss with you again and again. It's something that, well, how can you describe something that is so otherworldly? This gospel reading for this Sunday is another story of an intoxicating excitement. It's the rest of the story about Emmaus. You know the story itself. You have the story of the couple disciples walking away from Jerusalem to this small town, Emmaus, full of disappointment, sadness, uncertainty. And then they're joined by this stranger who began explaining to them the story of Jesus Christ as it was foretold in the scriptures. And when the three of them arrived, they ate, and the men knew in a flash who it was when he broke the bread. Of course, it was Jesus Christ. Now the rest of the story. These men turn around. Now they're running back to Jerusalem as fast as they can to tell the others what they had experienced. They were acting like they were intoxicated. And during that excitement, suddenly, without warning, when they're in the room with the disciples telling them what had happened, Jesus appears to them. And Jesus tries to help them understand. He tells them, "Ghosts don't have flesh and bones. Touch me. Know that I am real." And then he showed them his hands and his feet. Here is the best move he makes. He says he is hungry. How much more unlike a ghost could you get? Ghosts don't get hungry. And then they feel better. In their sense of astonishment, that intoxication returns. And then he begins to explain the events that had seemed like a disaster to them, the passion and the death. He told them everything written about him in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms, just as he had told the two on the way to Emmaus. He explained why the Son of Man had needed to suffer, die, and be raised. So as he did on the road to Emmaus, Jesus meets the disciples exactly where they are in their faith. And that's where he meets all of us. They were fearful, full of anxiety, slow to believe, but Jesus patiently does what he needs to do to break down their disbelief by making clear that the reality of his presence and all that means for them and is going to mean for them, their own intoxication with their faith, is going to change the world. How they will have him as an advocate in heaven, how their sins will be wiped away. Gosh, can you imagine? This is incredible stuff. If this wouldn't excite them, then what would? So, what are we to take from these readings? What message is there for us? Well, maybe when we think about it, maybe when we reflect on what happened, we can become excited about our faith as well. Hopefully, our faith excites us. And if it excites us, we will live it. There was a time a few years ago, golly, I don't know, probably the teens, the 2000 teens, I was at a meeting of the students. It was Catholic Truth League, which is our apologetic group. And they met every week on Friday nights. And before the meeting, this one particular night, we went singing. This was for Christmas. We went singing at a retirement home. And after the meeting, we went for pizza. And I don't know why, but I can remember that evening vividly. And I know exactly where we were standing. Outside the Chase Bank, right out, you know, that sort of weird corner that they have there, a very sharp corner, across the street from the Gray House that still has great gelato, by the way. And when we were standing on that corner, one of the students said to me, and it was Jacob George, as a matter of fact, who, thanks be to God, is going to be ordained a priest in about 1 month. Jacob says to me, "Father, look at them. Look at them. They're acting as if they're drunk." And he was right. They were so excited about their faith and the way that they were sharing it, so excited about being with other people where they could feel comfortable living out their faith. They wanted it to keep going. They didn't want to lose it, even when they knew realistically that it could not go on forever. I've experienced this at other times as well, at other events, Bible studies, sometimes when we would meet for dinner afterwards, on mission trips to Haiti or Cuba or Pensacola or New Orleans. And I've experienced it with especially the students when I was at Purdue in their faith communities and on their retreats like Awakening. And with the student leaders when they're talking about their plans. See, that's the huge difference between our faith and an event like my experience with the Holy Father. It's over. But our faith isn't. The intoxication the disciples experienced that Easter night is the very same excitement we can experience every day. But it doesn't just happen. We experience it, we live it, we do things to nourish it. And when we do all those things, guess what? It excites us, it intoxicates us, and yet it still requires something of us. You know, when I talk to people about the importance of evangelization, we get so scared about that word. What does it mean? It means if we're not excited about our faith, then we can't get other people to return to the church, to return to the worship. If they've got to see something in us that's going to excite them. And I know a lot of you listening out there, and I know you well, and I know that at some level you're excited about our faith, but we can't keep it to ourselves. I remember when Bishop Higgy was at St. Tom's one time, and he was confirming 40 of our young people. And what he told them is the same thing that we all need to hear. Many of us are baptized when we were our infants, but there comes a time when we must take ownership for our faith. This is the time, my brothers and sisters. We cannot sit passively in the pews and expect to become excited by our faith. It needs to be lived every day in different ways, in the way we nurture our prayer life, in the way we engage our faith, in the way we live out our life of community, being with one another. When I would take students on mission trips, it wasn't about working. That's not the half of it. It is about igniting our faith. It is about becoming intoxicated in what we believe. This incredible realization of what Christ has done for each one of us, because simply recognizing the risen Lord is not enough. Faith in the Jesus of our faith comes about when people grasp that all that has happened to him, his suffering, his death, and now his resurrection fulfills all that had been written about the Messiah in the scriptures. And see, what we sometimes maybe often fail to recognize is our own intoxication with our faith is going to change the world, or at least it can change, and it starts with us. That is what the Holy Father talked about in Rejoice and Be Glad. It starts with us. And from where we are in our own state of life, where we are in our own faith journey, we can start this moment. Let our faith come alive in us. We have lots of ways that we can do that. Begin today, this week, this month, but begin. And your faith will excite you in ways you've never imagined. God bless you. And let's all pray for Jim Andrew and his family. And God bless us all.